Welcome back to Kettlebells and Cocktails. I'm your host, John, back with my bestie, Nikki. Nikki, how are you?
I am good. I'm good tonight. I am feeling exhausted after like an insane, brutal workout tonight. I'm going to share it with you because I feel like you would like it for your, for your training. Yeah.
We'll share it. Let's go. What was it?
Oh my God. I'm sorry. In my head, I was like, I'm just going to send it to you, but I can read it to you. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. And you just tell me what it was. I didn't work out today. I was with our CEO and all the execs, and I took yesterday as a rest day, too. So I get two rest days in a row. It's great.
Oh, okay. So then you would actually love this. So it's kind of like a sandwich, you know, like the beginning and end are the same. Sandwiches. And then the middle is, yeah. Who doesn't like sandwiches? Ready? So here we go. 10 dumbbell devil presses.
Hate it.
50 calorie row.
Even worse.
Okay. 21-15-9 alternating toes to bar and kettlebell swings.
All right, I like that. That's good.
Funky, right? Then yeah. a 25 calorie row.
Okay.
I'm sorry. 25 calorie ski. Not row. Row comes later. And then you do 18-12-6 toes to bar and hang power snatches.
Okay.
And then you go back to your 50 calorie row and then you finish with your 10 dumbbell devil presses.
It sounds like one of those open gym workouts where you just get out every piece of gear when the coach isn't looking.
Low key, yes. But it's actually structured quite well as far as like stimulating similar muscle groups the entire time, but enough to like keep your brain interested so you don't really burn out. It's like just enough to make you, I don't know. I thought it was really, really clever. I told Dave today after class that I hated him, but also that I thought he was quite, like creative for coming up with this one. And the stimulus was perfect. So I'm going to screenshot it and send it to you.
My ADHD can't keep up with all that.
That's why I'm going to text it to you.
I'm just looking to see what the fastest person in the room is doing and just do whatever they just finished. That's how it works for me.
I just am like, can I survive this? And that's how I approach every workout now. Live?
Yeah, you lived. You survived.
I did.
Well, we have a very special guest tonight. Your friend and my friend, Ari Hurst. Ari, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys?
Good.
I'm excellent. I can't speak for Nikki, but...
Tired, but excellent.
So I'm with John. I didn't get to work out today, so I'm with you.
I'll text you this workout. It's a good one.
You. I definitely need you to text it to me because I'll have to reference it because there's no way I could memorize that on my own.
Yeah. No, I checked the whiteboard 17 times today during my... Well, yes. 30 minutes.
For those that don't know, Ari, you're with partnerships and work for CrossFit HQ. Let me tell you what I love about you, Ari. This is one of my favorite things about people when I meet them. So I've met Ari twice in person at the games, and then I saw you in Miami at the after party. That was ridiculous, by the way. I was only there for like 30 seconds because it was so packed. My anxiety was going crazy. But anyway, I saw you at the games. And you called me by name. You're like, John. And I'm not like kidding. Like anyone wants to get my attention, don't call me meme guy.
The meme dude.
Or the Instagram handle.
Yeah. Or point at me and go, hey, you're that guy. Like, mm-hmm. And call me by name. It's always impressive to me. So thank you for that.
It's the least I could do.
Well, I loved it. It's so rare that someone actually calls me by my actual name. So it was good. Some good stuff.
Yeah.
So, well, welcome to the show. We're excited to have
you. Thank you. Yes, I'm happy to be here.
I am made of questions, I got to tell you, because Ari, I feel like we go way back. I don't even remember when the first time was that we met, but you've moved and changed gigs and you've got also just like such a cool story about how and why you CrossFit in general outside of just your job and how it impacts your health. Mm-hmm. And I really want to dive into all that. But before we get too deep, like, where are you? What are you doing? Like, what's going on in your life? I haven't seen you in a million years.
I swear I need like an FAQ page about where I am in the world because that is usually the first question I have been getting lately. It's like, where are you living or where are you traveling to?
Yeah, where are you and where are your dogs? Those are my two most important questions.
So right now I'm in Memphis, Tennessee. I am hanging out at my parents' house right now. So this is my dad's man cave. Wow. My dog is right behind me. So I have one dog. His name is Watson. He's a King Charles Spaniel.
And I love him.
10. I know, he's so cute. And then my mom has the same kind of breed. So they're buddies. So you might see a little cameo of Sadie popping in here and there.
So your parents from Memphis, Tennessee?
No, it's a long story, but my dad, actually, Nikki, I don't know if you know this, was or is a local news anchor. So
stop it. What? What? Are you serious right now?
I know. Still? So, yes. So that's what he's been doing my whole life. I was born in New York, raised in Houston, and they moved to Memphis about 4 years ago. So he is still doing the local news here in Memphis.
Do they live in the good section or the murder section of Memphis?
I know, it's sketchy sometimes here, but no, they're in a good area. But yeah, so I am here.
Oh my God. How has he survived the ages in news? I need to meet this man and pick his brain. Like, yes. I need to know everything. Girl, I survived a decade. And then I was like, fuck this, basically. Yep. Truly. No,
just like, he's been doing it for probably about 40 years. I have insane. No idea.
Our parents only live like an hour apart. We should get them together. They can.
Let's do it. Yes, I saw you're from Tupelo. That's amazing. Yeah. That's like right around the corner.
Yeah, we have Elvis in common now. It's great.
Oh, I love it.
Do your parents CrossFit? Because John's dad will try to get them to come to the gym with him.
You know, they do not CrossFit, but both of my parents are in great shape. Back in the day, my dad was like doing that P90X thing, and it was working for him. But whatever they're doing, they just need to keep doing it.
Truly, truly.
Wow. So now his whole gig there has to be like warning people tornadoes and shit, because that's all that happens in Memphis and like that part of the country. It's like there's either tornado, some sort of murder, or they're covering some barbecue rib joint.
Everything. I like barbecue stories. I could get behind that.
Fairly accurate. Oh my God, I can't believe he's been doing it so long. This so man is a treasure. Yes. We need to protect him at all costs.
We'll have him on the show next.
I would love that. We need him, and we need Lauren Khalil back so we can all just bitch about our time in news. And Sean. Yes. Yep. Oh my God. Sean has the most hilarious stories about, like, when you're a first-time newsie, wherever you are, like, fresh out of college, like, you're a child, and you usually go to, like, East Bumfuck, middle of nowhere, so you can, like, make all your mistakes in a small market where it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. We all basically, like made no money, fucked everything up, and just drank a lot because we were, like, 22 years old. And mm-hmm. I swear, like, Sean's stories out of all of them are the best. Hilarious.
Love it. Well, Memphis is great. Get out. How long have they lived there?
Not too long. And I'm actually only here for a short period of time. I still have a furnished apartment in Denver. So eventually I will go back there at some point. So I'm just kind of, you know, taking advantage of these remote work options.
Yeah, that's very cool. Are you doing more travel or anything? Or are you just kind of like be bopping around for now?
Yeah, I'm kind of bopping around. You know, with the open announcements, I was going mm-hmm. to every single one. And then I had some personal travel in between because my schedule just wasn't busy enough, you know. But it was a good time. But I actually don't have travel coming up for 3 more weeks.
Cool. So, oh, very cool. Take a breather. Exactly. 5 seconds to relax. So what does it mean to handle partnerships for an organization like CrossFit?
Yeah, so I am partnerships manager, and there's a couple different things that go into partnerships. One is finding the right partners, right? I think our number one goal is growing the sport of CrossFit. I think we are trying to get as many people as possible into CrossFit affiliates and experience this magic of CrossFit that we've all experienced. And so we're trying to find partners that can help us do that, both endemic and non-endemic partners. So endemic partners that will help us stay true to our methodology, but then also non-endemic partners that will help us grow. And really it's just, you know, finding them and then keeping them happy as best we can.
It's so cool and it's so fun to think about all the brands and companies and organizations that like align well with basically the entire lifestyle that we promote. Mm-hmm. Like it's, to me, it's really helpful just as a CrossFit fan and like an average consumer.
Yeah.
It's really helpful to see who the partners end up being and how it shakes out when you look at things like open announcements or, you know, semifinals or the games. And it's like there are sponsors and there are people who have booths and there are people who are like servicing the athletes sometimes as far as their health and wellness goes. And it makes it a lot easier for me as like someone within the community to like get exposed to different partners that I can sort of like feel like are on the same level as my values and my interests and my goals. And it's like, oh, cool. Like, you know, so-and-so brand is partnering with CrossFit. Like, maybe I should look into them the next time I need something along those lines. It just, I honestly find it super helpful. And if it's a brand I've never heard of, it's like, this, whatever, brought to you by, it's like Thorn. I keep hearing Thorn. I had never heard of Thorn until Thorn was a partner with CrossFit. Now I'm like, oh, cool. The next time I need like a thing, maybe I can look into them. I think it's
cool. I only use Thorn. I love Thorn.
Yeah, you love Thorn.
Yeah, they're great. I would not frown on a Lululemon partnership. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay. I think Noble might be upset about that. Just throwing that out there.
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay. I know, but I can be bougie as hell in my Lululemon, and I can't be as bougie in Noble. Everyone else has it on. Like, make it happen. This is on you, Ari. Get on it.
Well, yeah, if you could just, that'd be great.
I'll talk to my people.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah, and you know, I think it starts with, like, the consumers, like, inside the affiliate. It's like, okay, what are they using? What are they wearing? What are they eating? What are they drinking? What kind of accessories are they using? So we kind of, Bean!
Hello! I told you you'd make an appearance. Yes. He looks extra pissed tonight.
Doesn't he? Look, his little ears are back. He's so mad.
Aww. He's got, like, the side eye.
He's feeling humiliated right now. Anyway, sorry, we interrupted your story with cats.
No, you're good. No, but it really just, like, we break it out by category, and that helps identify, like, where we need to go and who we need to bring onto our partnership roster.
That's awesome. I like that you kind of, like, listen to the folks from the ground up, so to speak, too, because that matters. And it also feels, like, super validating if you're like, oh, that's a thing that I, like, I knew about that however long ago, and now, like, here it is, like, sort of, like, larger in the space, and brands can grow with the organization. Totally. Like, that's very cool on both sides. As a marketing nerd, I find that.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, so many of those conversations, like, happen inside the affiliate, like, talking to your coach, like, you know, what kind of shoes are you wearing? Yeah. Like, seeing what they're wearing or seeing what kind of supplements they're taking. So everyone's important within the CrossFit ecosystem.
I hope you guys do not look at my cupboard and take that into account when you're picking partnerships. It will not be pretty at all.
John is my partnership resource. Anytime I'm like interested in trying a new pair of shoes, I text John first. And Matt too. Matt's like, just the other day, Matt was telling me that the next shoes he buys, he wants to be those Strike Movement ones. And I like instantly texted John and I was like, what do you know about these shoes? I assume you have them.
I love the idea of growing the business through better partnerships. Mm-hmm. I really do. I always get amused when, you know, whoever you guys partner with, inevitably someone's going to complain. Doesn't matter who the partnership's with, someone's going to complain. And I always laugh at it as someone who's in business. I'm like, how do you guys expect a business to stay afloat?
Truly.
Without bringing, you know, without money changing hands somewhere and taking a partnership that, you know, you're never going to find one perfect. Mm-hmm. There's no perfect partnership. There just isn't, you know, but you can find them that are closely aligned. Yeah, and that's what always amuses me, because there's no business that has a perfect partnership. Mm-hmm. None. You know, and people find their way. Like, you know, here's a good example. I'm obviously on the internet a lot. I know that's shocking to you guys.
What?
Like, I know. You
can't. Come on.
But if you really dug into how these phones are made, where the batteries are taken from, or who's putting together, whatever, none of us would own one.
Ever. Oh, no. The supply chain is just riddled with garbage. It's terrible.
You know, and so it's, I don't know. I think there are parts of your life where you have to make concessions. If that makes sense. You know, but very cool job. And you get to work out of Memphis. So what could be more glamorous than that?
I know. Right?
Amazing. That's what I was going to say.
I'm just pissing off Southerners right and left today. It's great.
Truly. You're going to get so much hate mail right from when you were like, is it the scary part of Memphis? I'm like, ooh, cue the hate mail.
All right. First of all, even the people who live in Memphis would agree with that statement that there are some pretty scary parts of Memphis.
I believe you. I believe you.
To say the least.
But I think what's even more interesting than your current position with CrossFit is how you are using CrossFit every day, and even how you did before you worked with the organization, because you're kind of OG. It's been a minute. How and why you use CrossFit for your everyday lifestyle. So I just kind of want to dive into your story a little bit, Ari, because I know you use it for your overall health and wellness. So explain how you got started in this.
Oh my goodness. It has been a wild ride.
Yeah.
But I was actually, for those that don't know, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was 9 years old. And I definitely think that expedited my awareness around health and fitness at a really early age. So I remember getting diagnosed super vividly, almost like it was yesterday. I went off to summer camp, I came home, and I had all these warning signs. I was losing weight, I was drinking a lot of water, going to the bathroom all the time, so lethargic. And my mom's dad actually has type 2 diabetes. And so, not to kind of go down too much of a rabbit hole, but they are similar in the ways that they can be managed, they are different in the ways that they can be managed, but very similar in the symptoms that they present. So my mom was very familiar with all these warning signs, and my parents knew I needed to go to the doctor. And so they took me in, and my blood sugar was actually 600. So for those of you guys that don't know, like, it's supposed to be between 80 and 120. So mine was definitely out of the range. Yeah, I was not feeling too hot. And so, you know, from that moment on, like, my life completely changed. I went from this kid who had no worries in the world to this kid that, you know, had a lot of responsibility on their plate, and learning this delicate dance of how food and exercise, you know, helps manage your blood sugar. So I really had to start paying a close attention to my health. And as we've seen, like, it's really impacted not only my personal life, but my professional life.
Yeah, of course. How did you manage it as a kid? Because we got a lot of tools now. Not all of them were around. I mean, you are not that old, and I'm not trying to say that you are, but not even all the tools that we have today were around like 10 years ago. So how did you manage that when you were 9?
It was crazy. You know, I feel like I always just kind of took this diagnosis in stride. Like, it never brought me down too much. But it was definitely a rude awakening. You know, back then, you were pricking your finger all the time. And if you've ever gone to the doctor, like, no one loves to do that. But every time I wanted to know what my blood sugar was, I had to prick my finger. And then depending on what I'm eating, or if I've already exercised, or if I had exercise coming up, I had to kind of like determine how many carbs I was counting, and then decide my insulin dosages on that and give insulin shots. So nowadays I don't have to do finger pricks because of new technology. I wear a continuous glucose monitor that sends my blood sugar straight to my cell phone, which is amazing. But I still give the insulin shots. So I give about 5 to 7 insulin shots a day.
No shit.
Yeah, that's pretty tough.
You've been doing that for so many years now. Mm-hmm. That's wild. I know it's second nature to you, but that's still like, that is so much work.
Do you ever get past that like nervous feeling when you have to get like, I've given myself shots before. Like, have you ever had to, like, do you ever get past that? Like, it's a real, like, it's hard to self-harm. I guess that's the best way to put it. Like, it is. It's hard to like stick yourself with something. Do you get that, or are you just over it at this point?
I'm so over it. I mean, like, if you have ever been out with me, we're in a bar, we're drinking, I'm giving a shot right there and then. I'm in the dark. I mean, like, it is so second nature to me.
I want to go drinking with you now just so I can see the hardcore look on people's faces when you just whip out a syringe and just jab yourself in between shots.
So it gets questionable.
I'm just so sanitary. I love that for you. Yes. That's wild. So I actually, I'm relating to you in two stories. The first is, I don't know if I ever said this out loud to you, but my husband is a pharmacist, but he works in doc's offices, mainly with folks that have advanced disease states. So he's actually like, his full-time job is mainly managing diabetes patients with CGMs. So it's big, big topic of discussion in my house all the time. And then I now own a marketing agency, and we work with a brand that makes, not the CGM itself, cause they just use the Freestyle Libre as everyone does, but, makes the program that reads it for, not for diabetics, but for, like performance.
Okay.
Which is really interesting. Yeah. It's like a whole new thing. It's like you can wear an Apple Watch or a Whoop, or you can wear a CGM just to monitor your blood sugar and understand like what food and exercise is doing to you, even if you're not living with some sort of advanced disease state. So I wore a CGM for a couple of weeks just to test it out as we were getting started with it. And it is fascinating.
Isn't it? I know. It's so weird for me to see, because like every time I see a diabetic in the wild, just like in general, I
get
in
the wild.
I'm just like, oh my gosh, like you're just like me. And I just kind of like have to salute them because there's this effect. But then now I'm seeing like all these people, I don't know if they're diabetic or not, because they're all wearing CGMs now. And I actually think it's really cool. I think it's helped educating like others about like the power of your blood sugar and how it can affect your body.
Yeah. And also, I feel like hopefully preventing advanced disease states from folks who unfortunately have the type of diabetes that they can avoid, like you cannot avoid, but you could avoid or hopefully could avoid, depending on your genetics and everything else that has to do with your body. Not shaming people who have type 2 diabetes. Please don't send hate mail my way. But it is so interesting to know and understand exactly what different types of food, exercise, even sleep, you know, any type of lifestyle sort of event can affect your blood sugar in a way that if it's sort of trending in the wrong direction, maybe you can reel it in before it gets to the point where you have more significant health issues.
Absolutely.
Did you do sports growing up?
I did. Yes. Growing up, I was a gymnast and then I became a college cheerleader before my friend introduced me to CrossFit. And at first I was super resistant to finding CrossFit and, I was very resistant because I think like, honestly, growing up working out in the traditional sense outside of cheerleading wasn't really my thing. I know that sounds crazy, but you know, during my high school career, I actually was struggling with anorexia for 10 years of my life. It was really tough. And then in my college years, I felt like I had a little bit more of a grasp on my eating disorder. And so I tried CrossFit and I was really hoping to use it as a tool to help me lose more weight. But fortunately, I didn't lose any weight that I didn't need to lose, but instead I gained strength. I gained, you know, a healthy appetite, and I was surrounded by this community of people that were like prioritizing what their bodies could do versus like what it looked like. And I really think that, you know, my obsession for being small was overcome with feeling empowered by becoming stronger. So it was really cool.
So healing.
I don't know a ton about anorexia, so if I ask some dumb questions, just forgive me. But I ask a lot of dumb questions anyway, so people are used to it at this point. So you said you had anorexia for 10 years? Is that, or you dealt with it all the time? What brings that on? Is that a like, how's it happen?
You know, I think it can happen differently for a lot of people. You know, some people it's about control. I think for me, it wasn't necessarily about control. I think shortly after I was diagnosed with diabetes, a couple years later, I said that I was very aware about food and nutrition and how it affected my body. And so I became even hyper aware about trying to manipulate my body to look at a certain way. And I knew how to do that because I was so familiar with counting carbs and what was going in my body and how to change the shape of it.
I was going to ask that when you first mentioned like needing to understand the number of carbs or the amount that you're taking in, depending on like when you're working out and what your readings are. And it hit me that young, that is a huge red flag for just growing up as a female, with the societal pressures that we have to fit into a certain beauty stereotype. That is like truly, setting the groundwork for an eating disorder or any sort of, you know, mental health issues surrounding body image. That's tough, Ari. That's a lot to deal with at such a young age.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like, you know, back then, like, we're in such a different place now than then. You know what I mean? Like back then, I feel like it was almost taboo to talk about your feelings, right? Or like know that you had a problem. So like physically, people definitely knew I had a problem. It was very obvious. But, you know, it wasn't something that people would approach me and like ask how I'm doing. Whereas now, like, I think they would. And I think, It's great that I think this conversation has surfaced in a more meaningful way now.
Yeah, we're getting there. I feel like the peak of diet culture was like when our moms were raising us.
Yeah.
Like the 80s were like just like Sharon and her big ass Bob was like straight up Weight Watchers and bringing her daughter to the meetings with her. Do you know what I mean? Like it was just, but it wasn't like, we didn't realize that societally, we didn't realize the harm just yet. Like everyone was just trying to do right. And Jazzercise and Weight Watchers, they're a way to like,
it was all Nutrithin and the Special K drinks. Have one for breakfast, have one for lunch, and a sensible dinner. That was
fast. Yeah. And it's still happening. Like, don't get me wrong. It is still like, we could do another 2 hours just on like the insane garbage fire that is diet culture continuously, right, including today. But I just feel like we definitely, like, the tides are turning in a way that, you know, hopefully our generation of women have lived through it and mm-hmm. are approaching it differently and are approaching it with a way, with a sense of strength and empowerment, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. and can turn around and raise the next generation that way as well. Yeah. So hopefully there's a shift happening, but that's, it's like a tough, it's like a diagnosis. You were a kid, you were already in sport. You were in a sport that valued being strong, but also small and societally, like, even our parents weren't really having those conversations with us yet. Mm-hmm. So
I know it was definitely the shift, like going, you know, from being a gymnast my whole life to cheering at a D1 school to then being like, wait, what? There's another way to look. And like, this is really cool. And I just, like, I'd never really lifted a barbell before. And I was like, I think, like, you have to be tough to manage diabetes. You have to be tough to restrict yourself from nutrition. And then it's like, I tried a CrossFit workout and you have to be tough to push through that. And I was like, damn, I really like this because this shit's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. and then you got to fuel your body for it if you want to actually fucking get better.
Exactly. And I was like, dang, like, okay, well, I have the mental toughness for this. I just got to build some from physical strength. And that's where the magic happened.
Man, and the rest is history. You've sort of just been like living this CrossFit life ever since then.
Literally.
I can just imagine your coach the first time going, hey, your hands might tear when you do this. You're like, I stick myself with a needle five times a day. Like, come on, let's go. Yeah, I got this.
Okay, but wait, totally. Sorry. What's worse though? Because hand tears are the fucking worst.
They are the worst.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're used to needles at this point, Ari, you're probably like, I'll prick myself with a needle five times a day before I have to rip my hand on a bar.
It's, yeah. I mean, if it could forever go away, I mean, that might be a little bit different. Whereas it's probably how long the hand tear is going to last.
I think the ab mat butt rash is pretty bad.
I have never gotten one.
What?
No. Yeah. Thing. Yeah.
They're so bad. I've had,
I think
so
I have
bad.
So much cushion that it's just, it's never, I don't hit it right. Like, I don't hit the, yeah, but I've done the thing before where like my hands have torn so bad that I like put like little plastic baggies over them for my first shower. Cause I don't want to get like shampoo and soap in the cuts.
When I first started CrossFit, I was not going to wear gloves. I'm like, there's no way I'm putting on bitch mittens. Not going to happen. Just, I'm going to let them rip. Right.
You made your own gloves.
Yeah. So I did. I made my own wraps for a while, but I was still tearing all the time. Right. And because I had really, like, I had not worked out my whole life when I started. So I had really soft hands. They were so pretty then. Now they're not
soft and beautiful.
They were soft and beautiful. And now they are disgusting. Mm-hmm. But I, as long as I live, I'll never forget this. So I get my first one. It was terrible. It was big. And I'm not exaggerating. And my coach, who was a savage, is like, you just need some liquid bandage. Just go get some liquid bandage.
So no.
Nobody told me that, Ari. No one told me that. I'm like, he's like, yeah, it's like actual skin. You just put it on, it'll be fine. And so put it on. It was like, they might as well jabbed a steak knife in my hand because that's what it felt like.
No, the insides, like in your stomach, like they will shift when that thing is inside.
Yeah. It was so bad.
That's
Unfortunately,
terrible.
I don't rip anymore. So that's the plus side.
Yeah. Wow. Like ever?
Ever. Yeah. I did. Wow. Matter of fact, I did a workout a few weeks ago that had, it's either 80 or 100 toes to bar in it. And I was doing big sets because I'm decent at them. And I went into it thinking, all right, well, this is going to be the one I rip.
Yeah.
You know, their toes to bar. Like that's where your hands, you know, short of doing bar muscle ups, your hands rotate the most on the bar at that point. And no, they were fine. They hurt.
Do you wear grips?
Nope.
I don't either, which is why I tear it not often, but periodically. Bar muscle ups make me tear.
You know what we didn't ask at the top of this that we've started asking people? What shoes do you wear?
Oh, yeah, good question.
What's your shoe of choice? Are you required under contract to say Noble? Is this an infinite CrossFit question I can't ask you?
I do love the Noble. The Noble shoes. Too. They're actually really pretty. But also, you know, with my past life, I have loyalty to Reebok too, and they're all great, you know. But I have been excited to wear these new Noble shoes, and I do really enjoy them.
Mm. It sounded like you had to say that. Blink twice. Blink twice if you had to say that, Ari. Okay.
I also love the new Nobles, not going to lie. Not sponsored, not paid by CrossFit to say that. But I'm dying to try the new runners. Have you tried those yet?
I have not, no.
The runner pluses? Because I find like I just have like really bitch shins. Like they just suck. And mm-hmm. I need like a really like cushy running shoe. So the previous runners, I can only do like long running Metcons. Like I wouldn't wear them out for like a 3 or 4 mile run. Right. But the new ones look all cushy and jacked up. I know. Like squishy. And I kind of want to try those.
Run on clouds.
We'll see.
I have these New Balance 1080s.
1080s. Yeah.
I got them for the High Rocks event that Nikki went and I went and did. And so I decided I'm going to be a better runner this summer. I got to run some if I'm going to do another High Rocks event. And so the other day it was really nice here in Cleveland. So I'm like, I'm going to go for a run. So I bought this stupid Apple Watch solely for running. That's the main reason why I bought this thing, right? Because I can stream music from it and it'll link up to my AirPods and I'm good.
Yeah.
So put it. First time I'm running, I go run. What I don't realize is it's going to tell you your split times when you get to a mile. It's going to physically talk to you. And I hit the first mile and it's like, mile one split time, 10 minutes, 12 seconds. I'm like, you lying bitch. There's no way I just ran a 10 minute mile. There's no way.
There's nothing wrong with a 10 minute mile.
Not when you run like 7.5 to 8 minute miles is like a casual run, Nikki. 10 minutes is horrible.
Yeah, but I've, like, 8 minutes is not a casual one for me.
That's used to
be for me, and I have not been running. And I'm like, man, your boy has not been running at all because 10 minutes was not acceptable.
I think that, like, your first run after the winter when you get out and it's, like, springtime or whatever, like, you got to shake off cobwebs. It's, like, not the same as running in the gym. It's not the same as running your 400-meter loops in a Metcon. It's not the same as running on a treadmill. Like, there's, like, you got to get into, I'm sure it was a little hilly.
I didn't have cobwebs, Nikki. I had the whole spider on my back.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole damn tarantula was, like, locked in. I was not moving.
I did the same thing this past week. I got out for my first outdoor run because it's just barely like 40 some odd degrees here in New England. And when it hits the 40s, it's t-shirt weather. Like people are out in shorts because we're just so sick of the winter. And, you know, summer's like 3, maybe right. 2.5 months long. So I did the same thing. I got out for the first time and I had just a super casual, but also super slow run. And I couldn't figure out why until it hit me. I was out with a stroller and I was like, oh shit, my baby is like 20 pounds heavier than he was last year. Like the stroller is heavy now. And I thought he was heavy last year. Dang.
Like running with a vest.
Truly, it's like pushing a sled.
Yeah.
And like last year, it was like nothing. It's like a fancy stroller. It's got shocks. It's got, it glides. It's so easy to push. And he weighed like, I don't know, 3 pounds.
I should put Bean in a backpack like a GoRa.
You know, there's those backpacks for cats that have like the helmet.
Yes, they're awesome. And they have like a little dome that they can look out of and put its little face up there.
Oh my God. You want to make him hate you even more? That's a terrible idea.
You imagine him bouncing around back there? He'd be so mad. Oh, he'd be so mad at me.
You'd have to like put padding in there so he didn't like bang around.
Never mind. I might love it. Maybe.
I will find one on Amazon for you. I'll send it straight to your house.
Perfect. Ari, how was your open experience? I saw a lot of posts that you did. It looked like you had fun. How'd you do?
Yeah,
it was. Like, I love traveling around for the open. It's so much fun. You know, like, you always think like, oh, okay, like I'm not going to redo the workouts. And I'm like, okay, no. Then there's like a fire that lights underneath you. So I thought the open was a blast. Like I love doing the workouts. I love traveling for the open announcements. I kind of had a dual role at these announcements. So not only was I, you know, servicing our partners and making sure all of those deliverables were up and running and good to go on the broadcast and in person with the signage, things like that. But I was also kind of working with the athletes and some of their agents. So that was really cool to be around them, and they're all just like so fun to be around.
Were you in charge of loading the barbells in the first workout?
That's a sensitive CrossFit question. We don't need to talk about that.
I was not.
Mistakes were made. We are all humans.
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was funny. I know people raised hell, but I'm like, you know, shit happens. Like in a live event, shit happens. What do you gotta do? You know,
just we're all human, you know.
The only part I couldn't figure out of this, and I'm not making fun of anybody. You're in a European event with European athletes. They're the only ones that should understand kilos because I don't understand kilos. Yeah. I could not look at a kilo plate and tell you how much it weighs. I couldn't pick it up and tell you how much it weighs.
Yeah.
But you would think at least one of those athletes would go, hey, these are 5 pounds shy or, you know, 2 kilos shy.
They start in the row and like the energy is just so high in there. Like it would be impossible for them to kind of like stop and either recognize it or to call off the show and in the moment, but they had the best attitudes. Like,
yeah,
they were just phenomenal. So they took it well, and they still crushed it.
That's what I thought. Is that games athletes are just like us. Cause if my coach hands me a barbell that's 10 pounds light, I'm using it. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
So they're
I thought the same though, in that, like, if I were in that environment and I picked up a bar that all of a sudden felt amazing, I'd be like, I am on fire. Oh my God.
Like, what I'm doing is working.
Yeah, totally. And the vibe is on and the people are cheering, and I could do this for ages, man. Look
yeah.
me. So. That didn't surprise me at all.
Every time I've screwed up as a lift, it's because someone's given me plates that are in kilos. It's also the one time I PR'd my snatch is because I had kilo plates on. I had no idea how much it weighed. You know,
okay, like, John, that means it's a mental thing for you. If you just didn't know how much it weighed.
Don't know. Like, and they don't want to know, but I want to know. I always want to know what I'm lifting.
You do? Oh, I don't.
Yeah.
You
do.
Yes.
I feel like if I know, I try harder. But
really? I think my biggest mental block is just like thinking I can't do it and then I won't.
Yeah.
So sometimes if I don't count, I just keep adding. I'm just slip tens on. I'm gonna slip tens on until I can no longer lift this bar. Then it's like, oh shit, I did what? Okay, cool.
Maybe I can do more.
That's my power move. As many tens as possible so it looks like more than it is. My other power move these days is using the lighter 35-pound barbell because it bends and it whips and makes you look stronger, especially on back squats. You can just have like 200 pounds in there and it still bends. And they're like, oh, he's got a lot of weight. Like, yeah, of course.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. 200 pounds. It's great. Yeah, it's a real power move. Plus, it's good for men. If you have big, I have big hands, so use the smaller bar, smaller diameter. You can get a good grip on it. It's great.
Yeah, it's like lifting a toothpick.
Exactly.
That's cool. All right, were you able to get to all of them, or to
was yeah, yeah? I actually did the open workouts at different gyms, each location. I think the first one I did in Memphis. The second one, I was in New York City, and I used to live in New York City, so I was able to kind of like see my friends that I had you know, done CrossFit with over the years. That was really fun. And the third one, I was in Omaha at the gym where the open announcement took place.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, it was great. So, I had a blast.
Are you doing the open workouts with the athletes or around them?
No, they're usually already gone by the time that I usually fly out the next day or like early on, but they've already like done their workout and they don't want to stick around. So I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either.
Yeah.
I don't blame them for that. I would always get stressed if I had to do it around athletes. I can't do that. That's my mental block, Nikki, is having someone infinitely more talented than me watching. I can't do it.
Oh, see, you just got to be so unfit. That's how I am. You're just going to be so unfit that it truly doesn't matter.
That way they seem actually surprised at what you can do. Is that it? And they're like, oh, wow.
No, that's why they're not, literally not even paying attention, because they're like, this girl, what is she even doing?
Yeah. I do try to like work out with them like when in days leading up, and I'm like, okay, what is your part A or B? And I'll do that.
Yeah, I'll do one section of your like A to Z.
Then we have lunch. So.
Yeah. Makes sense. It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So what is your, like, what's your sort of like roadmap from here on out? Cause the season's about to get even crazier. Are you going to head out to semifinals and do some of that stuff, or?
I am. Yes. We are pulling together all of the deliverables that we need to execute on for our partners. So for the semifinals, like, partners get different things for each one. Sometimes they sponsor just one, sometimes they sponsor all of them. And so they get different assets on the broadcast or signage or, you know, digital deliverables. And so making sure that's all squared away. And then because I traveled so much for the open, I'm probably just going to California because I love it out there. And I was like, okay, yeah, this one sounds really nice. And I'll probably make like an extended vacation out of that. And I don't know, I might go to Orlando. I could be convinced if you guys are going to be there. So maybe we could do that. But otherwise I think just that one. And then it's like, we're already in games planning, which is,
oh my
crazy.
God. Yeah.
I feel like it just happened, but it's going to come up quick.
I don't think people realize how long it takes to get like assets together for big events. Like I'm a little bit surprised to hear that games isn't happening right now. Like, this is like, it takes forever to shoot videos, to edit stuff, to, like, you know, there's like huge chains of approval when you're working with brands. Like, it's just, I see the work you're doing, and I appreciate it from afar because I know what it's like.
Yeah.
So much work.
It always seems easy to me. I just show up, they give me a press pass, and I'm good.
Yeah. You just watch the commercial and you're like, that was nice. Anyway, moving on. Yeah. Meanwhile, it's like friggin' 18 months and a team of 25 people that had to pull this whole thing together. Like, oh God.
It's actually, like, surprisingly a pretty lean team.
I believe it's
a powerful one for sure. We get stuff done.
You guys have a really big team, like, kind of across the spectrum of what you guys do, not just in partnerships, but we obviously know people in the other divisions. And it seems like lately there's far more criticism to what CrossFit is doing. Without delving into the criticism specifically, like, is that hard for you guys, like, hearing that feedback, or do you just take it and try to actually do something with it? Or both?
Yeah, you know, like, I think it's hard sometimes, like, to comb through the noise and understand, like, okay, is this just, like, noise, or is this something that we really need to pay attention to, and is that really the narrative that's out there? And so it's kind of like deciphering through that. We've, I think, done a really good job of segmenting out, like, different groups and talking to, you know, the athletes and talking to the agents and talking to partners and really, like, fielding what they think is, you know, important and what they value and then what they feel like needs improvement. And we just have to take that as constructive criticism and ultimately just understand that that's going to help push our sport forward.
That's such a really good point, because you can't ignore everything, because we are a community. And so, you know, when the people speak and their voices are loud, they deserve to be listened to to a point, because that's the other thing, is like, people just, like, the internet is just so gross and full of trolls. And I don't know if that's really the place to get the feedback, but that is certainly where the feedback is shouted the loudest.
Right.
And like, I, you know, like, my gut is like, ignore anything you see on Instagram and Reddit, for fuck's sake. But like, but those are, some of those people are valid. So God, I don't envy that job of trying to figure out what is valuable information. And what is not.
And then also being like, okay, like, is this within our control? And understanding what is and what isn't. Like, there's only so much that we can do, but if we can do something about it, like, let's take a look at it and see what can be done. But then other times, like, there might just not be something that we can do at the time.
Right. Totally. See,
this is why I could never work for CrossFit. I am petty AF.
Yeah, me too.
I don't take it. Well, I don't take the criticism well at all. Ari, I just don't. I can't help it. Like, I got to fight back. And if I worked for you guys, I'd be blasting people hand over fist. I'd be fired in a week.
Isn't that funny?
Call me and vent, you know?
Yeah. Perfect. Isn't that funny about John, though? It's like, he's got thick skin, don't get me wrong, but, like, you know, for a meme lord, you'd kind of think, like, this guy probably doesn't even read his DMs. He reads all of them. All of them. And it's, like, not healthy sometimes.
Okay, but some of them could be really great, you know?
True, it's totally
you
true.
That keep you going and support your work.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point. It's hard. Like, it's very hard emotionally sometimes to hear some of the comments. And then occasionally, though, like, I was having a hard day several days. I had a hard week, actually. And somebody just randomly messaged, like, nothing provoked it that I could tell. Like, it wasn't connected to anything. And it just said, hey, I just want to thank you for what you do for the community. That was literally the whole message. And it was like, yeah. And I was like, man, that was like a really nice bright spot to know there's at least one person out there that doesn't think I'm an asshole, you know?
We need more of that. Like,
we do. We
need more sprinkles of kind messages. There was actually some show I was watching, maybe it was like the Today Show or something, and it was saying they did this study where people went around and, like, it says that doing something nice for another person actually increases your mental health. And I love that. And it's so true, though.
100%.
So when you're feeling down, go do something nice for someone.
Ooh, what a lovely way to turn around your own attitude. Yeah. I would never think that. I'm like, when I'm feeling down, I'm going to, like, cocoon myself on the couch with a blanket. Nobody talks to me.
You're saying my concept of making memes about these people and roasting them online is not good for my mental health, Ari? God, you must be a therapist.
Balance.
Yeah. I'm with you, John. I'm a spiteful bitch, but I'm working on it. I know this about myself and I'm working on it.
Here's what my real problem is. Like, seriously, like I actually am relatively, I'm not gonna lie and say I have completely thick skin about my own stuff, because I don't. I have my own issues. However, I can usually deal with that. Where I start to get pissed off is when my friends get attacked.
That's so true.
Talk about my friends. Yeah.
So as an example, like, it's well known, Nikki and I love Dani Spiegel. She's a good friend and just adore her. And last week, someone started selling shirts to say girls who cheat.
Yes.
And I was so really mad. And I was so mad. And it took every ounce of self-control I had to not blow that up. And you got to know, like, Nikki knows me well enough, Ari. I know you don't. But it could have been a week long worth of memes for me if I'd wanted to do it. Like, when I get a mean streak, I could go for a long time. And I was like, I could roast this guy silly. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. That's Danny's fight, not my fight.
Yeah.
But it's hard because I love her. Like, she's a close friend and I want to defend my friend, you know? So I struggle with that.
Yeah.
That scenario upset me greatly.
No room for meanness like that, you know?
No, especially not with an effort that is trying so hard to set girls and women in this narrative that is just empowering. And like, it is this whole movement, being able to even say girls who eat out loud, is so vital to what we're setting up as far as, man, just like setting an example and doing anything to harm that. Like, you can have your opinions on people and you can shit on people and you can whatever, but doing something to harm that movement or make fun of or devalue that movement is like tragic. Why? That, pick something else.
I know.
Or just like voice your opinion about a thing and fucking move on. Like, you don't shit on something that's really doing good. Really. Yeah.
I guess in the scope of sport, it didn't bother me. Like, you know, because you see that with like LeBron and Michael Jordan, you know, like with the debate of who's the GOAT. And it gets, people get really aggressive about that. And you hear it some about Matt and Rich, you know.
Sure.
Like, you know, there's always in a sport, people are going to have their favorites and people, and they want to hate on people they don't like. And so I get it. Like, Dani's successful at what she does, you know, both in social and in the sport. And some people are going to hate on that. And then, you know, there are some controversies that have to be addressed. Like, you know, they were addressing her wearing the wraps on deadlifts in some workout, you know, you know, and I get that, like, it's all part of sport, but then there's the other part of me is like, this is not a very big sport. This is like the Pine Box Derby. Like, we don't have that many athletes,
you know, right.
It is, it's a new sport. And the more we tear it down, the closer we are to destroying it.
Yeah, I'm with you too. Like, the same vibe, John, same brain. Like, in sport, I don't mind criticism and I don't mind saying, I don't even mind when people are like, hey, I think you cheated in a thing. Like, talk about it. Let's talk about standards and scores and whatever. All I'm saying is, like, you got to shit on that movement that's actually doing good work. Like, come the fuck on. Yeah. That's what bummed me out.
Oh, well, I didn't do the fight. I held it in, Nikki. I hope you're proud of me.
Yeah. I did the same thing. I'm extra proud of you. I don't have reach the way you do, so I'm extra proud of you.
So if for some reason, Ari, someone makes fun of you, let me know and I'll roast them for you. It's great.
Oh, you would be the first person to know.
So free offer. Free offer.
I actually do that. I actually do send shit straight to John. Actually, I don't even. So this is the funny thing. Is like, I don't even pay attention to a lot of stuff that happens, even in our world. Like, just if it's content that I'm not into, I just don't pay attention to it. So sometimes John will have to be like, oh, this other show, like, shit on us or roasted us or someone posted this about you on Instagram, and I'm like, really? And he's like, don't worry, I took care of it. I'm like, great, thanks. I'm not even gonna look at it, honestly.
In our life,
we do, you know, we do, we all need a John.
Yeah,
you guys are the only two people on the planet that feel that way. It's good to know.
It's true.
Hey, two is better than none, right?
Hey,
good to know. So how much longer are you in Memphis? You said 3 weeks.
3 weeks, and then I'm going back to Denver for a little bit, and yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to decide, am I going to stay in Denver? Am I going to go somewhere else? So,
like long-term, you mean?
Like, move, yeah. I don't know.
You know, Rhode Island is beautiful in the summer.
Hey, I do need a lobster roll. So.
I think this is the place. Just throwing that out there.
I was going to say the same thing about Cleveland, but I didn't want to lie to you. Not that pretty.
Yeah.
Are you gonna get over to the music section of Memphis at Beale Street?
I have been to Beale Street a couple times. It's awesome. Yeah. It's good character. So, yeah, it's charming. It has its charm.
Great blues. In Memphis.
I don't know where I've seen
many concerts in Memphis. I went to when I was in college. This is forever ago. You'll love this story, Nikki. I went to see the Indigo Girls on their debut tour. It was their first tour. They were supporting.
Oh my God.
Yeah, whatever that. I forget their debut album, whatever it was named. It might have been self-titled. And so here's the story. So I go with this buddy of mine. I'd only heard one of their songs. I had a friend that went to college at the University of Georgia. They're from Athens. He'd give me one song. I'm like, I love them. I'm going to go see it. Keep in mind, I was a very naive 19-year-old at the time. Very naive. Mm-hmm. So I show up at the Indigo Girls concert, small club in Memphis. And at some point, I'm like looking around and I'm like, I am the only dude in here. This is weird. This is really weird. And all of a sudden, the two girls in front of me start making out. And I'm like, I'm a naive 19-year-old. I'm like, okay, that's never seen that before. That's weird.
You're like, this is awesome.
I'm like, this is weird. And then I look around and if you probably could like see the light bulb go off over my head. I'm like, oh, I get it now.
I understand.
Yes. Some woman or girl, she was my age, she was young, like taps me on the shoulder. And she's like, hey, can I ask you a question? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, are you straight? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, me too. Can I hang out with you? And she obviously had no idea too. And so she hung out with me and my buddy for the whole show. It was great.
Oh, man.
They were terrific, by the way. I still love them dearly. And it was an unreal show. But it really kind of a weird moment in my young life.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is your reigning memory of Memphis?
Yes.
All right, we all have to come here and have a reunion. So
I know.
I think you need a new Memphis moment.
Memphis. I know. I need a better Memphis moment than a lesbian story. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I don't know if you can ever top that, to be totally honest. I'm just saying.
You know what I did this weekend? I went and saw John Mayer again.
Oh, yeah. That's right. How went.
Oh, my God. It was unreal. So we saw him a month or two ago, or 6 months ago in Pittsburgh, his full band. And now he's on the solo tour, just him and an acoustic guitar. And every hit you can imagine he played. And not only did he play all of it, so he played like 24, 25 songs. Not only play every song you would have wanted to hear, he was taking requests from the audience. Like people would hold up signs and he'd point at them. And like, he does this thing online on his Instagram page where he'll go live on Sundays and he just does this show and he just plays and he makes up jingles and songs on the spot.
Stop it.
And, yeah. And during the pandemic, he was wrote this song making fun of rich people called Drone Shot of My Yacht. Right. Wow. And it's like Drone Shot of My Yacht. It's like this whole little jingle. Right. And it's really clever and funny. And somebody requested it, and I swear to God, he played it. It was played the whole song. And my daughter, who like loves this guy like no one else, I thought she was going to cry. That was the one song she wanted to hear. It's never been on an album, never recorded anywhere. It was really fun.
Everyone's got to go to a John Mayer concert at least once.
It was spectacular. He has a ridiculous talent.
Mm-hmm.
A ridiculous talent. Like over the top, better than anyone I've ever seen play guitar and be creative, and I've seen some really talented people. And
would you say he's horrible. Your favorite artist, John?
Oh yeah,
you think so?
Yeah. I have a look at a poster on the wall back there.
So many guitars.
Like, do you play?
Oh yeah.
No, I just like to look at them.
No, John is.
That should be how we go off the air. Is you playing?
No, we're going to be playing live on this show.
Oh, but we should.
But we're not going to.
Okay. That could be your new, like, or your intro song into the podcast. Maybe
we've talked about that.
Yeah. I've actually written one. I've just never recorded it.
Yeah.
I need to get around to it at some point. I wear a lot of hats. Sorry.
It seems like it. My goodness.
Kettlebells. I don't know why you don't ask me to sing it ever. Yeah. I don't know why.
That's exactly how it went, Nikki. That was exactly right.
I sound like when you give a cat a bath, that's what I sound like when I sing.
You made it sound like one of those old Budweiser commercials.
Those are the best.
It was what they call those great moments in sports or whatever. And the guy would sing over it.
Oh my God. Yes. I knew know exactly what you're actually. He's a much better singer than I am still.
I thought you did well.
Thank you. If you need me to record it, I can do it. As every podcast listener hits unsubscribe.
All right. This is not how you saw the show going, was it? Like not even a little.
No, but I'm not mad. That's for sure.
This is pretty normal for Nikki and I. Just whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I'm giving a huge recommendation, and he's got he just released new dates, so he's probably going to come through Denver.
Okay.
Oh. Right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see a show at Red Rocks, so I still have yet to do that.
You buy tickets, and I'll come out.
All right.
I'll come to Denver. I will absolutely travel to see John Denver.
That could be your stage name.
I would absolutely travel for John Denver if he came back. Great. Zombie John Denver would be quite nice.
Zombie John Denver. Red Rocks is such a cool venue. I've been there, just not for a concert, but it's so, so rad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't wait. All right, guys. Well, this has been fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She waited a little too long. Hesitation.
No, it was fun. It was so good to catch up with you guys. Seriously. Yeah. This was fun.
So next for you. You're thinking you're going to California. You'll go to Orlando for there. Is that what the promise was?
Yes. So I'm going to Denver back there, and then semifinals travel, definitely California. And then I have to be convinced.
Nikki's going
to
be in California. I'm going to be
there. I'll be there.
You got to decide which one of us you like better, Ari. I'm just saying.
She already said California. Before she knew where we were going, she already said California.
And it's Memorial Day weekend, so like you have to stay longer.
My God. And I have friends in the area in California who are like, can you do a day on the front end or back end and stay with us and hang out? And this will be the first time I've ever been away from my kid.
I know. And I am like, Wapalooza, like you brought him, right?
Oh, yeah. They've been everywhere with me. They have been, we did 2 weeks in friggin' Tennessee to get in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, boy.
At the Best Western, Strawberry Hills or whatever, like freaking like half an hour outside the city. It was the worst place we've ever stayed.
Hey, we're changing that, you know. We are we're upgrading to Orlando and Pasadena. So
It was and Knoxville is actually really fun, and there are many wonderful places to stay. Just the scenario that we were in was not good. But anyway, they came with me there, they came with the Wapalooza, they came with the games. Matt is kind of at this point like the baby's older, right? Yeah. Like I'm not nursing around the clock. So he was kind of like, I'm going to pick, and it's not fun for him. Like if I'm working, I'm working. Right. Like we're 14 hour days, like, you know, on the air early all day. And then we stop and then we have, you know, a 10 minute dinner with a team. And then we go right into a meeting, production meeting for the next day. Like it's not fun for him. He can't hang out with me, whatever. So he was like, I'm going to pick couple big events. I'm going to come to games. I'm going to come to Wapalooza. That's and everything else in between. Like, you got this, mama. Like, just go. And he's all for it. And he's stoked to have a little bit of one-on-one boys time and all that fun stuff. And I am like spiraling into a panic attack. Like, just not that he's going to be fine. Like, I'm not worried. I'm just like, I don't know. I truly can't explain it, but just like, the thought of
attached.
Not
like literally
attached. Like I don't know, the thought of not being with my kid for 5 days is like absolutely driving me nuts, but it's good, it's healthy. I'm definitely going, a little freeing, but I'm just like, whew, man, I'm scared.
And you've got time to prepare, so
You'll be good.
I have so much time to worry about it, is what that means. as a person with severe anxiety, I have so much time to panic. It's great.
You'll be fine. Well, for some reason, you don't love me enough to come to Orlando. I'll see you at the games.
Yeah.
You definitely will see me there. Absolutely. So, and now I'm being tempted with Orlando. So we shall see.
It'll be fun.
I mean, you tell me to get on a flight. Like, I'm already there.
Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. Easy.
Party time in Orlando.
I'll miss you guys.
We're going to do shots and shots.
I think back, we could change the name of your guys' podcast.
I was just going to say, all right, that's our new podcast name. You should start it, and you should start every show with a shot.
With Lil Jon playing the background, that song, you know? Yeah.
Yep.
Shots and I'll sing it. Shots and shots.
So good. Wow. I wish I could give an insulin shot right now just for shits and giggles.
I would have to look away. I can't do it. I can't. I can't do it. Even when I wore that CGM, I had to have Matt put it on for me. And that doesn't actually, like, even putting it on doesn't hurt. But I was like, I can't do it.
Oh, I am not squeamish even a little.
There is a needle, though, that goes in and then, like, retracts. So,
I looked at it. Yeah, I looked at it. The filament is, like, fine once it's in. But that needle, I was like, you got to do this shit for me.
Welcome to the weird world I live in. So,
yeah, can't imagine.
Crazy. All right. Well, fun times, lady. Hopefully we'll see you both soon.
And, yes, sounds good.
For everyone listening, appreciate you guys joining. And we will chat with you guys soon.